Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It is time for our Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast. And within this broadcast, we want to bring a point to ponder today, a particular PowerPoint, if you please, that will cause us to think about that particular thing, not something in general, but something specific. And the specific question I want to ask today and try to help us all to come to a conclusion about through the Word of God and the Holy Scriptures is, whose influence are we under? Whose influence are you under today? Now, when I say influence, I'm talking about ministers and ministries. I'm talking about the media. I'm talking about the news outlets. I'm talking about the movies. I'm talking about music. I'm talking about books, whatever we are allowing to come into our mind and have an influence in our mind. It's real important to understand all the forces that are worked behind all of these different, many different influences today. The Bible said that we're of God as His children, and the whole world outside the kingdom of God, you see, the whole world lies in wickedness. And literally translated, it means, of course, we see the wickedness. I mean, just look around you. Look at the internet news outlets. Just every day you think that it couldn't get any worse, or it would at least be a pause in all of the evil that we're seeing manifest today. And yet it just continues on and on and on. Amen. I don't even like to have to deal with it, but I have to be on top of it to understand the times that we're living. I have to understand and ask God, what do we do? How do we react to all of this evil around us? Do we bury our head in the sand and try to deny it exists? Or do we get more bolt locks for our locks for our doors, more ammunition for our guns? Do we board up our homes? What do we do? Do we just cower in the corner and pray for Jesus to hurry and come and take us out of here? That's what we want to address through who is influencing us. There is such a depression today. It's a heavy thing. I fought a battle with not just depression, but oppression from the enemy recently. And that's how I knew something good is about to happen. I've been in the ministry. I've been pastor of the Holy Church of God, president, director, and / evangelist for 53 years and counting. Dear friend of mine, when I go through a personal, and I don't mean through the media this time, I'm just talking about a spiritual attack. When you get up one morning and everything's fine and this weight just begins to press upon you, and it's oppression from the enemy. And I had to pray, and I had to ask God for help to conquer this thing, to overcome this thing. It wasn't as simple as just rebuking the devil. I had to pray that God would not let my enemies triumph over me, that He would take up the battle in my behalf. I don't know about your shield of faith, but my shield of faith is not my faith to handle it all. It's my faith that God will not fail me when I call upon Him. So my faith is really not in my faith. My faith is in His faithfulness. But when my faith is in His faithfulness, I got a lot of confidence in my faith then, because God is faithful. And the more He delivers me from, hallelujah, when the enemy attacks, I'm not talking about delivering me from the attack, but delivering me from the intended result of that attack. And sometimes the devil overplays his hand, and he's overplayed it, I believe, this time. Who is influencing us? Is it God's Word? If I wasn't under the influence of God's Word and the influence of the Holy Spirit, I could not stand in these times. I'm deeply concerned for people who are not under the influence of the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And he that hath an ear, he that hath an ear to hear, he that hath the spiritual capacity to hear what the Spirit is saying to us, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And that's you, and that's me if you're a Christian today. God has a message from us. Sometimes it happens right while we're reading the Scripture. There will be a Scripture we may have read 100 times, but it's like it goes into 3D high-definition Dolby Vision. Praise God. It just leaps out at us, and it becomes alive in us. It's called a rhema word from God. It's something that it's hard to explain it, but it will happen if the Holy Spirit is welcome to show you something in the Scripture. You will read a Scripture and you will see something that you didn't see. It won't be different. It won't be some personal, it's my revelation, nobody else has it. No, there may be a lot of people have it, but you have discovered it for yourself. Praise God. And when you do, it's different from you just hear it from somebody else. When you hear it from the Holy Spirit, somebody knocking on your door to bring you some other doctrine, hey man, they're out of luck. They're not going to get to come in. They're not going to try to get to change your mind, because your mind has now been renewed by the Word of God through the Holy Spirit's work, taking it and making it rhema to you, a revelation to you. No revelation of Scripture, no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. Every cult has a leader that influenced them so strongly that they have a private interpretation of Scriptures that we all have access to, but they have something that has changed, and they have it personally privatized. If you don't do it this way, you can't go to heaven. If you don't do it this way, you'll never be right with God. You got to do it this way. You got to have that formula. You got to do it on that day. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. When you're reading the Bible or either hearing the word preached and it becomes alive to you, no Scripture, no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. And one of the signs of every single cult, without exception, they have a private interpretation through a very influential leader that has established them and separated them from all the rest of us. Amen. Years ago, I told this to our congregation. I want to tell it to our internet congregation. Years ago, someone got involved with a group that were Christian for all practical purposes, and there was a leader of that group, and they were so enthralled by this leader and their spirituality, and that when this leader told them this, when Paul talked about going to third heaven, that they were 3 tiers to heaven, and only the people under this particular leader's teaching would be spiritual enough, spiritually astute enough, and spiritually qualified enough to be on that third level, that third tier. And I told this, well, as a family member, I said, you mean when we both go to heaven, I'll probably, from what I'm hearing, I'm going to be on the first floor. I'm going to be so glad to get there, I'm not too concerned about what floor I'm going to be on. Hey, I want to hear well done, amen, and be so happy to be in heaven. But having said that, I'll be down on the bottom floor. And this person, of course, under that person's private interpretation, will be on the third floor. And I said, you mean when we die, we'll never see each other again? I won't see you in heaven? And I was told, well, I guess not. I thought of that song, that country music song, about the honky-tonks and bars. I got friends in low places. A friend of mine, when I go to heaven, looks like I'm going to have a whole bunch of friends in low places, because it seems that everyone other than the people under that person's private interpretation of Scripture is going to be on the third floor, and everybody else is going to be in the lower place. And that's okay with me. I don't mind being on the first floor. What I mind is when people are so influenced by a single person, that they buy into that, and they cannot see beyond that. And they would argue that to the end. And there's a pride in it. Can you see the pride that is in it? It's saying, I'm going to be in. I remember my dog's better than your dog, the song. I don't know if you remember that. But listen, when you come to Christ as your Savior, amen, there is no male, there's no female, there's no rich, there's no poor, there's no black, white, or all the colors in between and hues in between and different cultures. We come on a common ground when we stand at the foot of the cross and we receive the one who was on that cross for us and paid our sin debt. And if someone dies that night, they're going to heaven. Hallelujah. And I don't believe they're going to be in the basement because they didn't get Brother Venable's teaching on the Word of God to put them in a higher level. Or this person. I'm so glad what I'm preaching will preach in a lot of different denominations. Now, of course, all of it won't, because there are things that people disagree with on the coming of the Lord, the rapture, or no rapture, and it shouldn't separate us. But what should separate us, give us pause, is if there is a private interpretation of Scripture by a person. The Bible spoke of people drawing people away to make disciples to themselves. When we're told in Scripture, we don't make disciples to ourselves. We're to go and make disciples unto Jesus Christ. If you're a true preacher, if you're a true evangelist, if you're a true Christian teacher, you point people to Jesus. You're out to get them into the kingdom, to follow the King Jesus, hallelujah, and not follow you, amen. The Apostle Paul hit that early on. People were separating, and they did it. Evidently, Apollos wasn't false, and certainly Paul wasn't false, but people were already gravitating to one teacher or the other exclusively, and some said, I am of Apollos. And others said, I'm of Paul. So you had the Paulines and the Apollines, I guess. And they were not fellowshipping. And Paul said, what are you thinking? Whichever way they chose, they considered themselves very, very spiritual and spiritually sensitive and knowledgeable. And the Apostle Paul said it this way, who is Apollos? And who is Paul? Amen. Are they not just ministers called to minister to you? And he said, are you not of the flesh and just walking like men who are unconverted? Amen. Walking in this pride, walking in this separation, allowing the devil to use good men of God in that case to cause them to gravitate to one or the other and not have fellowship with each other. Can you see the enemy's device to divide in that, to cause confusion, to break up the agreeing fellowship that allows the Holy Spirit to flow freely? Praise God. Oh, friend of mine, there's a lot of things I can't agree with and shouldn't agree with. But there's a whole lot I can agree with, and I'm looking for a common ground that we can come to, that we can have fellowship with one another, that we can come together in agreement and not grieve nor quench the Holy Spirit. and there's a free flow of the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of God, who is the Spirit of truth. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. And when He, the Holy Spirit, not it, when He, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And if we continue in the Word, there's how He guides us. It's not just a leading alone. It's the Word of God rightfully divided. Hallelujah. Amen. He uses His Word because He comes to guide us into all truth, and we're told to rightfully divide the Word of truth. And without His guidance, we simply can't do it. We're going to miss it somewhere. We're going to mess it up somewhere. And we're going to say, but I got a scripture for it. But if it's out of context and it's not in the historical setting and we don't know who it's written to and what it's really all about, we're just trying to establish our own perspective and we're not getting at the bottom line. And that is the truth that will set us free from error, set us free from deception, set us free from false teachers, false prophets. Praise God. Amen. And I want to get into truth. I don't know about you. There's a part of the armor that is called the sword of the Spirit. Amen. And it is sheathed and hinged on the belt of truth. So when the Roman soldier got up, he put on that belt first, and then he put on the sheath and put the sword in the sheath. Listen, truth is so vital in a day of such deception. The whole world lies, the Bible said, in wickedness, literally translated, in the power and influence of the evil one. In the power and the influence of the evil one. And you can see why so many people can't see what we saw. And the gospel, it doesn't shine to them like it shined to we who are saved. The Bible said it's foolishness to many, but unto us who are saved, it is the very power of God that brought us to salvation. Amen. Listen. 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. Not a ground to cover. No, not much time to cover it. Let's cover a little bit of it. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, Satan, in his role as God, little g, but so influential, God of this age hath conducted a relentless and well-planned strategy to blind men's minds to the truth about God, how to know Him, and to veil the truth of the gospel, how to have our sins forgiven, that we might have a relationship with God that is a reconciled relationship with Him. Amen. Listen, people with podcasts also, and webcasts on the internet that have many followers and subscribers are called influencers. The devil seeks to influence through dark deceit, appearing as modern enlightenment. Why do these people have influence? Why do people sponsor them? They want to get their product on their podcast, webcast. They pay them if they get enough followers because they say they have the influence. And if they endorse this product and the product is seen on their webcast, their podcast, amen, then our product has a good chance of being seen by thousands of people. Thousands of people. I'm an influencer for Christ. I'm not hiding that. I'm here today to talk about Jesus, point people to Jesus, tell you what He's done for you on the cross, and can call you to come to that cross and have your sins forgiven, repenting of your sin and receiving Him as your Savior. But I'm not hiding that I'm an influencer. But there is a lot of influencers that are influencing through politicians, through music, through movies, through books. Listen, the mind is the target today. The Bible said, literally, the whole world lies in wickedness or in the power of the evil one. Amen. How does he gain that power in the first place? The Bible said our battle, we wrestle not against flesh and blood in Ephesians 6, but powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places, and the rulers of the darkness of this world. The devil and his cohorts, the devil and his demons, are the rulers of the dark forces and dark powers of this world. Listen, friend of mine, the whole world lies in this darkness of deceit. And we're fighting a real, genuine, spiritual battle in this situation that we're in. Friend of mine, it's significant to understand the spiritual forces that are at work. There's a four-letter word that is being used by the media, by journalists, that used to you didn't hear. Psychologists and people in the police forces, the FBI, CIA, there's a word that's being used that normally wouldn't be used. They would talk about people having all kinds of psychological problems, people having all kinds of backgrounds that drove them to do this or drove them to do that. But now they're using a four-letter word, E-V-I-L. Evil. Finally, there's a recognition that there are forces beyond our culture and what happened to us as children and all these other factors that do have an influence. But there's something deeper and something darker that is occurring today, and that is E-V-I-L, evil, spiritual forces of darkness. We're talking about a devil, amen, here at Halloween almost upon us, that is not a some kind of person dressed up in a red jumpsuit with a pitchfork and tails and horns. The devil is a real fallen angel, and those angels that fell with him are here down in our world, and they're operating here in this world, in a sphere of influence. And they're influencing artists to bring their influence through that artist that so many people are following. Once you get a following, you have an influence. And I believe the success of some music artists is the result of Satan's blessing. Hey, listen. He tried to make a deal with Jesus. You bow down and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. Jesus didn't argue that he couldn't influence people to open up to him and make him rich and powerful. Amen. In the natural, in the physical, in the material. Jesus didn't argue that. He just said, you don't serve any God but the true and living God. I'm not going to worship you. Amen. Listen carefully. Through the media, through sports stars that people idolize. I can speculate this, but I'm not going to speculate a lot. But I believe some people, not necessarily sports stars, they might have, might not, but some in the music industry have made a deal with the devil. Made a deal with the devil. That if you will make me popular, you will give me all the riches and fame that I'm after. You know, I'll serve you. Amen. Listen, friend of mine, whether they did or whether they didn't, we can't serve two masters. Right now, you, me, and them, and everybody else is serving one or the other. We're walking in the light or we're walking in the darkness. We're walking in the truth or we're allowing the lies of the devil to influence us. Amen. One thing for sure, the lies of the devil will blind you and bind you. But the truth will open your eyes and set you free. That's why I want to be a truth teller today. And I want to follow him who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Hallelujah. I want to follow Him who declared Himself to be the truth. Hallelujah. And to be a conveyor of that truth by the Holy Spirit to us. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. And the Scripture said in John 8:30-31, Jesus speaking, if you continue in My word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, I might add to that without adding to the Scripture and its meaning, it'll keep you free, free from error, free from deceit, free from false prophets and false preachers and false teachers. Amen. Listen, I may not see my friend, my family member in third heaven. I got a feeling he's going to be right down there with us. Amen. On the same street of gold, drinking from the same spiritual river. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't believe that there is some super spiritual state that can place you through personal revelation above that Christ has done for all of us equally. Amen. Through His cross and His shed blood and sacrifice. I'm so glad to declare unto you, amen, that regardless of your color, amen, regardless of your culture, regardless if you have got saved and been saved for 50 years or whether you've been saved for 15 minutes, amen, if you have been born again, washed in the blood of the Lamb, repented of your sin, and received Christ as your Savior, if the trumpet sounds, whether you're in the ground or above the ground, we're going to be caught up to meet Him in the air. We're going back with Him for a marriage supper of the Lamb. Hallelujah. And there's not going to be I believe there'll be rewards that are given. If you've spent a lifetime serving God, you get a crown of righteousness, a crown of glory. And you know what you're going to do with those crowns? You're not going to sport them down Glory Avenue saying, look what I did and what you didn't get to do or didn't do. No, no, no. The 24 elders in the book of Revelation have got crowns. You know what they did with their crowns? They cast them before the Lamb. Amen. They crowned Him with many crowns. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because they will know when our feet hit those streets of gold, that without Jesus' shed blood and the grace of God that was granted because of it, not one of us, not the greatest of us, the best of us, would be worthy of walking in that place with those holy ones. And yet we will be worthy, because we were made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. Now, I didn't get on here to argue some different doctrine just to show I'm right and somebody's wrong. I just want to proclaim the good news of Jesus. John was walking through the pages of Revelation. He's writing as he sees these different things, as he's escorted. And he saw people coming into heaven, and they're coming out of every kingdom, they're coming out of every culture, every language. Amen. He said, who are these coming literally out of the four corners of the earth? Amen. Out of all different cultures and colors of people and languages, who are these? And the answer came, these are they who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. Amen. There won't be no big shots in heaven. Well, in a sense there will. We'll all be big shots. We're all going to live in a gated city. Hallelujah. Amen. We're all going to live in a mansion. Not like we think of here on earth. There's a city that is four square, 1,500 miles square each way, and 1,500 miles straight up. Praise God. Amen. And this city is going to be something to see. But the city is not the great attraction of heaven. The city is an attraction, don't get me wrong. But the great attraction of heaven is the one we're going to see. That still, and I believe most scholars agree, there's not a scripture that I know of for this, but I believe it is biblically sound to surmise here that because of what happened on earth, when Thomas didn't believe, he couldn't bring his mind to get around. Here was Jesus killed on the cross, bloodied and chalky white and dead when they took him down, put in a tomb for 3 days, and here he stands before you. And Jesus said this. He said, listen, if you don't believe, come and put your finger in the holes in my wrist, my hands. Come put your hand in this hole in my side. And when he got a little closer to Jesus, he fell on his knees. And he repented of his doubt. And Jesus said, listen, blessed are you even if it took what you saw to believe. Blessed are you because you believe. But more blessed are they who haven't seen and they yet believe. That's you and me. I haven't seen him like that, have you? But I believe. I believe. I believe because the Spirit of truth has revealed that great truth. Through the Word of God, through the preaching of the Word, the teaching of the Word, amen, and by His own Spirit, God hath revealed this unto us. Flesh and blood didn't do it. They might have been a vehicle for it. But it was the Holy Spirit Himself. And He's right where you are today, and He's right here where I am today. And He's still revealing truth that sets men and women, boys and girls free. No matter how deep in the darkness of deception you may be. Amen. Hallelujah. There's the Spirit of truth. And I believe He's seeking you out today to reveal the truth about Jesus to you. And that you will not run from Jesus today, deeper into the darkness, but you'll run to the light and to the life that is eternal and everlasting. That you will repent of your sin. Amen. You may feel like I could never be free. That's a lie from the devil. Jesus said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. This is genuine, real, bona fide, verifiable freedom that you will experience today. Change will break. Darkness will be dissolved. And the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ will shine right unto you, right where you are. You'll see it. You'll believe it. You'll receive it. Hallelujah. And God will bring you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son. And keep you until the day of redemption. And whether you're in the ground or above the ground, when that day comes, the trumpet will sound and you'll be caught up. We're going up together. Praise God. And we're going to share the marriage supper. It's going to be a big, long table. And we're all going to have a seat at it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So come to Jesus. Come to Jesus today. I know the Holy Spirit is working in this message today. If you're in a cult, if you're under someone's influence and you're just afraid of going to hell, if you question it, because that's one of the control mechanisms of a cult, it's time to step out into the glorious freedom of the sons of God. Hallelujah. Jesus came to set us free, and He does set us free. From sin's deadly wound, from Satan's influence and power, He sets us free, not to do our thing, but free to serve Him, free to follow Him, free from the fear of death, free from the fear of hell and the final judgment. And I pray today, if you're in a cult, that you'll come out of it. Get in the Bible. It's God's Word to you and for you. Get in the Word. And I believe God will show you and speak to you. Hallelujah. Get start in the book of John, not in the book of Genesis. Amen. Go for the Savior and the salvation He offers. That is what is important. that trumps everything else. You get that right, and everything else then will begin to fall into place, and no one will be able to manipulate you to just follow what they say. And what will happen? The scripture says that you will come upon in the new covenant. Let God be true, and let every man be a liar. I want to bring you the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let God be true, for he's a God of truth. Amen. And Jesus is the truth. And the word of God is the word of truth. Hallelujah. So come to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He's coming soon. I'm looking forward to going up when he comes. Come and go up with us. What do you say? In Jesus' name.